Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Come in. I'm not E.G. Marshall. I'm Dale K. from Spook Show. And I'm here with...
Not E.G. Marshall, but Dave Binkley, and we're just a really bad movie on Spaceship One, and along with...
Not E.G. Marshall, it is I, God the Ghoul, blah, blah, to y'all. There you go.
There you go. So you got three non-E.G. Marshalls here for you tonight, and we decided to cave into the pressure and bring you some more good material.
I'll give it to you. Okay, you get one. There you go.
Yuck. I got a couple of boings. All right.
And then good old Bob and Frogsbane have joined us in the chat. Pardon my voice. It's good.
And even better yet, CW joins us in the studio.
Really? Oh. Greetings and felicitations. This is CW here. We are a quorum. Hey, Gar, blah, blah.
Hey, my blah is broken, but blah, blah. There you go.
Okay, continue.
I'm still working on getting my voice back. The blast.
It's sounding better.
Well, that's
it's
what
sounding,
you get for lending it
out. It is sounding better.
You gotta stop lending out your voice.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, CW, I do have a moral of the story this week, and I won't. I hope it doesn't tread on your toes, but it was gender specific. We'll find out later.
Oh boy.
Uh oh.
It's
getting
not,
the ruler.
It's far. It's not
getting.
Yeah. Okay.
Getting the boxing gloves out and Sister Knuckle Buster's ruler. So,
okay. Oh, I'm wearing a coat. No, never mind. Boy. What did I say?
Oh my goodness.
I don't know if you're going to, the low blows are going to start any minute. Yeah.
CW, it's hilarious that you use that expression. I have a friend who's in a band called Nunfist. And one of the lead singer dresses up as a nun, has a yardstick, and it's like a heavy metal band. They do like covers of Black Sabbath and some of their own material, like Sister Mary Bloody Knuckles is her name, the lead singer, which is a dude dressed as a nun. The drummer is like Satan. One guy, I think the guitarist is a priest or something. It's insane. These are the friends I have.
I don't know why that kicks it up, but somewhere out there, there's a heavy metal band, and all the members are dressed up like heavy metal Ronald McDonald characters.
Oh, God.
There's
a friend.
Grimace has horns. Yeah.
Ronald McDonald, the Hambler, the Hamburglar. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's funny stuff.
Yeah.
I can't picture a heavy metal evil Grimace. I don't know why. He has the perfect name for heavy metal, Evil Grimace.
He does.
Evil Grimace.
That's fun.
Yeah.
The name of the band is Max Sabbath. That's it.
Max Sabbath.
Max Sabbath.
That's awesome.
It's hilarious.
So that'd be a great name for a new sandwich. And now featuring our Max Sabbath.
So, welcome Frogsbane and good old Bob in the chat. These are the people I hang around with.
Hey now, blah, blah. It's broken, but it still works. I don't know.
Yes. We got three stories about cave-ins tonight.
Yeah.
And it's not just about my jokes either.
In the other room. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I have to keep walking from room to room. My info's on one computer, but the dialogue's in another. So that's weird. All right.
Hey, Gar, we have this thing called notepads today.
It's on a notepad. I should copy the notepad onto one of those flashy drives and put it in the other computer and stop walking around.
No, I mean, we have this thing. It's called paper, and you can make
notes
on it.
Yeah, no.
You can scribble notes on it, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm the Gar's moral of the story is over is over 100 words, so I'm not going to write it down.
What are you out of crayons?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I write.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Crayons,
you know.
How do you erase a crayon? Yeah. You just
I think
it's
the kindergarten way. Just write.
Yeah, erase it by taking a piece of paper, crumbling it up, and throwing it in a trash can. That's how you erase a crayon.
No, you do it very carefully with a match, and you can melt it off.
Really?
It may take
it may take hours.
Yeah, didn't you ever melt crayons like on your army guys and stuff like that to look like blood, big globs of?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had a warped childhood, guys.
Yeah,
I would melt
back
red
in elementary
crayon.
School, they didn't give us matches.
Oh, I managed to pilfer a lighter, like a good old-fashioned Zippo for the devil trees I was engaged in. Like Milton Crane.
There's always that kid in the corner playing with fire. Yeah, what's that about?
I never let it get out of control.
That's when you're sticking to it.
Let's just say when I turned 18, my records were expunged. No, I'm kidding.
Or sealed.
No, no, no. Those are part of your permanent record, Dale. That's part of your permanent record.
No,
you
no.
Can get
is it up there with the demerits?
Yeah. Billions of years ago, when I was in the military, we had to go to firefighting school. And I was 5'6". That's as tall as I ever got. And so I'm the short guy because everybody else is like 6 foot, whatever, you know. So who did they give the main hose to go walk into the flaming building? Me. I'm like, oh, my God.
You think your joke's very funny, huh?
And this isn't being weird or nothing. I've never held a hose that tight in my life, but that was it. Yeah, there's fire all over. You walk into a flaming building. It's like, my gosh, what are we doing here?
They didn't make you go in alone. They had the other.
There was a gaggle of people, in the back holding onto the hose. But I'm the front guy. Walked into a burning.
I mean, they did let you wear the fire equipment, right? I mean, you didn't have to go out there in shorts and a t-shirt or something.
There's equipment. I won't be naked. No wonder. Oh, all those burns. No, anyway.
Yeah, but you had the hose, so you could have sprayed yourself.
I had the hose. That's right.
Could
that's
have
what they said. This
is on any time. Yeah.
This hose is your protection. Here you go.
You know, some fire departments, especially out here in the country, they teach you a lot of different rescue type things, including cave-ins. And you know,
we got a lot
of radio tonight.
Went in doubt, throw a rock on it. There you go.
Hey, Dale. You know where a good place to start would be tonight?
Where would that be?
If we started with the 11th hour, it's kind of a crossover between last week and this week.
Ooh.
It has a little something to do with the circus.
Why wouldn't we?
I apologize for not being here last week.
That's okay. It's on your permanent record.
And we apologize to you folks for him being here tonight. So
there you go.
I got plenty of coffee, but I don't have a voice. It's a god. I'm kidding. This one's entitled, appropriately, The Cave-In. And is this the one we had difficulty locating the initial broadcast date?
Gar has no problem coming up with dates.
I have no problem. This aired July 26, 1946. Prove me wrong.
AD.
Time. The silent herald of life and death, success or failure. The unseen force that measures man's destiny, reaching its most fateful moment as it slowly strikes the 11th hour.
Men free. They're there to come to Red Rock once a year, that's all I can say.
Hey, mister! Will you stop that train, mister?
Can't stop it now.
But I'm supposed to be on it.
Nothing I can do about it.
Well, you could signal them, huh?
It ain't no good, it ain't no good, mister. You sure gonna miss that train.
Well, where's the next one?
Yeah, man, nothing past 7 in the morning.
But look, I gotta catch that train.
Well, seems like you'll have to do a heap of running then. You're one of them county folks.
What's it look like to you, huh?
That's right, ain't it? That's plumb right.
Is there any place I can get a drink around here?
Yeah. Red Rock Saloon's still open. Is it okay for you to drink? Well, there's a Red Rock Saloon just down the road a piece, so you can't miss it. Miss it.
Well, thanks.
Yeah. Them carnival people, freaks all of them, yeah. Strange folk. I don't like them coming to Red Rock. Don't have no use for them in a mine and town like this. Getting copper out of the mountains, our business. Yeah, not staring at them carny folk.
Night shift's turned up, except for Kaluas. He's taking the force as deputizing for me.
Okay, Jeff. How's that number 4 tunnel going?
Don't like it, Patty. Don't like it at all. Not enough shoring in that tunnel. If not told him once, I told him 1,000 times.
Yeah, I know. A cup of coffee before you go off?
Yeah, sure. You think with all the copper they're taking out of this mountain, they could afford to get more shoring timbers, huh?
You tell that to the bosses in Denver.
I put in 100 reports, Patty. 100. Nobody cares what happens to us here in Red Rock.
Hey, how long you been stewing this coffee? It's like molasses.
Put it in fresh this morning. Patty.
Yeah?
You ever get a bad feeling some days?
What do you mean, Jeff?
Like there was something going to happen. I got an itchy feeling down my spine. Same as I had that time we had an accident with the dynamite. I don't like it.
Well, nothing happened today, did it? Now it's my shift, and I ain't got no itchy feeling. Now drink your coffee and get on home.
Well, all I can say is this. I'm sure glad I'm sitting here in this hut and not working down in number 4 tunnel.
I've been working on the railroad all of the long day. I've been working on the railroad.
I'd rather listen to that thriller you're singing, Forrester. Man, you got a voice like a rusty bugle.
I got a voice to match my bill, fella. Me, I got a 240-pound voice. Hey, who's throwing them rocks?
That mountain don't like the sound of your voice, Forrester.
I've been working on the railroad. There's something wrong down here. Those rocks are coming from the roof of this here tunnel.
Well, if that's the case, you better come on back here, Forrester.
Hey, that shore in there. Mike, take a look at it, huh?
You better come back here, Forrester!
Get back, all of you! The shore is giving away! The shore is giving away! The whole of this mountain's gonna come down and tunnel it!
Thank you.
Okay, come on, tell me. What's so funny, huh? Go on, tell me. What's so funny, huh?
You ain't standing where we are, you know?
Look, all I did was ask for a drink. Is this the way you treat strangers in Red Rock? You all think you're so clever, don't you, huh?
Hey, listen, don't you go causing no trouble in my bar, you understand?
Well, I wasn't causing no trouble. I missed my train. I came in here for a drink, that's all. It's them customer of yours is causing all the trouble, barkeep.
Man, are you sure the funniest stranger we have in Red Rock for many a long year, you know?
You take that back, you hear me?
Run away, will you? Why, you... Oh! Hey, you know what I'm going to do now, stranger? I'm going to turn a living hide up here.
Hey, I don't want no fighting in this bar, you hear me? I warned him against fighting, Sheriff. And just look at all them busted glasses and chairs. Who's going to pay for them?
Come on now, who started this ruckus?
He's the stranger.
Well, look, Sheriff, that's not true.
Well, who struck the first blow?
Well, I guess I did, but...
You got somewhere to sleep tonight?
Well, no.
Well, then I think you'd better just come along with me to the lockup for tonight. At least you'll have a bed there and you'll be able to keep out of trouble.
Yeah, but look, you can't arrest me.
I'm not exactly arresting you, fella.
Oh.
I'm just sort of putting you under protective custody. You understand? What's your name?
Matt Miller. And I wish in tarnation I hadn't have missed that last train out of Red Rock.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. I hear you.
You in there alone?
Yeah. But only me. I was working at the fix.
How are you fixed?
Not so good. It's like I was in a tomb. My legs are trapped. I can't move. There's rock dust falling all the time. An iron choking me.
We'll get you out.
Yeah. Well, you better hurry. It's getting cold in here. It's getting as cold as death.
You hold on, Forrester. I'm going back to start organized getting you out of there.
Still alive, Bill? Yeah, how are you doing?
Hey, make way for the doc. Stand back there, you guys. Stand back. Yeah, make way
for the doc. Through into the tunnel, Doc. One of the men will go with you. You can't reach him at all. But you can talk to him.
Okay, thanks.
Teddy, how bad is it? Yeah, it's pretty bad, Jeff. It's a miracle he's still alive.
What's the situation?
Now, the main fall came between him and the mouth of the tunnel. It's made a miniature cavern over him.
Yeah.
He's getting air in through a small passageway through the fallen rock. It's only inches wide.
Well, we'd better start working on them rocks, huh? We can get them loose. Of course, it'll take time, but he's getting air through that crack there with it'll be okay for a while.
Yeah, it'll take time. It'll take a lot of time. We wouldn't be able to use drills to vibration to start another fall.
All the men will work with their bare hands if they have to.
Patty, I just heard the news.
Hi, Sheriff.
Bad, huh?
Worst fall we've had yet.
And Forrester's trapped. But he's still alive, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, the doc's talking to him now. He's only talking to him because he can't get to him.
I knew something bad was going to happen. I just knew it.
Patty, how far in is he?
15, maybe 20 feet. He's getting air in through a crack between the rocks.
Duck's coming out, Teddy.
Come on, right out.
I'll set about organizing the men in the work party.
Thanks, Jeff. Well, Doc?
It's worse than I imagined.
Yeah, it's bad, but we'll get him out okay.
You won't.
What?
Oh, you may get his body out, Patty, but you'll never get him out alive.
Well, why not?
Well, it would be impossible for you to shift about 80 tons of jammed rock inside an hour, wouldn't it?
An hour?
Because that's about all the time I reckon he's got.
But he's getting air in there through the crack.
Oh, sure. It's not the air I'm worrying about, Patty. It's the rock dust.
I don't understand, Doctor.
Well, there's rock dust falling all the time. It's choking him. And he's not out of there within the hour. Then he's going to suffocate.
Oh, no.
He's a dead man, Patty. Right at this very minute, he's a dead man. There's no way out. None at all.
Surely there's a chance.
Not one in a million, Sheriff. That little cabin in there is going to become his grave. I'm sorry. There's just nothing that I can do, Patty. There's just nothing that anyone can do.
Well, the men will work.
You heard me, didn't you?
Yeah.
Doesn't make any difference how hard anyone works. Nothing's going to get him out of there. Nothing.
But in a giant straw.
Where's a positive attitude for you?
Yeah. Try anything at this point. But... hey, it's far less complicated than driving a Prius, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Kind of an inside joke, unless you're in the chat.
Yep.
Yeah, this one jumped right into the adventure of it all. This is a good story, Dave.
Yeah, and them South African people could sound like Americans pretty well, couldn't they?
Yep.
Yeah, they could. Yeah.
They could.
I guess they took lessons. I don't know.
They took American lessons. Yeah.
American lessons.
American.
It runs right in from last week, the circus, into what we have for tonight. Nicely done.
Yeah.
CW, Dave. You need to stand on one leg and wave a chicken feather. Your signal's cutting out.
Yeah. You sound a little underwater there for a moment.
Something
like that.
Is that any better?
Yeah, there you are.
That is much better.
You couldn't sound any better. You couldn't sound
good chicken
any
feather. There you go.
Oh, thank you. There you go.
Yeah. I think they talked about how to speak American by starting to pay them minimum wage. I think that's what it was.
There you go. Because anybody could live on that. Huh.
I'll give it to you. There you go. Wasn't it like a General Motors strike or something like that? And they said, tell you what, we'll pay you minimum wage. And they were like, what? No, we want more than that. Are you crazy? A job's a job. I don't know.
I think they're making a little better than that. Last I checked.
I'm wrong. It was a 10% increase on whatever they were getting.
Strike again.
Yep.
Yeah, I'd go on strike just to get a raise.
Well, they only wanted a. Well, again, it wasn't that much different. They wanted what, a 36% raise over 10 years, which is just a little over 3% a year.
They should acquiesce.
That's not outrageous.
But they didn't give it to him.
Yeah, I know. Someone on the non-union side doesn't have a calculator.
Yeah, it sounded scary, I guess. But when you had it over 10 years, yeah.
All they need is one guy that weighs like 110 pounds. All they need is one guy that weighs 110 pounds in the corner. I got a calculator over here. It's a good deal. Take it. You know.
Better yet, a garculator.
A garculator, yeah. We don't have any garculators today.
A garculator.
How you been there, CW? You having a good week?
So far, so good.
All right.
There's no forest fires where I am, no floods, no tornadoes, no hurricanes, no earthquakes, no volcanoes.
How about mosquitoes?
Yeah, you missed the mosquito talk.
No. Oh, there sorry about that. We have a nice healthy bat population. Not healthy, but not bad. So they're flying around munch.
Yeah, we do have a bat, but this is too much for one bat.
You have one bat.
We do. We have one bat. We only have one bat.
He loans out for children's parties.
You should bring Bat Boy to your neighborhood. That'll help.
Yeah. Oh God, Bat Boy.
Sherlock Holmes, in deductive reasoning, we now know that CW now lives on Mars. That's where none of the things that he mentioned is occurring. And they have bats, you know.
So stop looking and stop writing us letters. That's all we're telling you.
No. Venus is for women. Mars is for men.
Really?
Yes. Yes, according to that novel.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, but it was slanted. It was all a work.
Yes,
I say let everybody live where they want.
Pluto. I would have moved to Pluto, but it's not a planet anymore. I mean,
it
was a planet.
Demoted.
No.
Got demoted.
Didn't they grandfather that back in? No.
Somebody tried. I don't know if it worked or not.
It's a planetoid.
I live on a planetoid.
Who exactly is the boss of classifying, things in our solar system?
That one guy with the mustache.
Somebody who doesn't have any
Salvador Dali?
The pillow guy in church? I don't know.
Not that.
I like that guy, but I can't think
of the merciless first. I'll take Ming the Merciless is in charge, not that guy. Not the pillow guy. No.
And Ming is kind of stingy. He's kind of stingy with handing out recognition to planetoids and planets and all. I don't know. The Star Hustler. Jack Horkheimer. Yeah. There you go. Jack Horkheimer.
Who's the boss of classifying those heavenly bodies? That's all I want to know. I'm writing them a letter. Make up your mind. Planet, not a planet. While we ponder that, let's wrap up the cave-in.
Let's wrap up. Good segue.
11th hour. I did my best.
Right, there you go.
That says it all.
Good little shibbity, little shibbity.
It's no good, Jeff. There's nothing that can be done. He's finished.
But, Doctor...
You know me, Jeff. I don't give up until the last vestige of hope's completely gone. But there's no sense in fooling ourselves or anyone else. Forrester's finished. Nothing in this wide world is going to be able to save him.
An hour. Only an hour.
Not long for a man to measure his lifespan, is it, Forrester? Great big healthy bozo, always singing and laughing.
He needn't have been working tonight. He was deputizing for someone else. You can't just let him die like that. Alone in there and us not even making any effort to help him?
Jeff, he's beyond help.
Maybe if I was to send to Denver for some special equipment.
Denver's nearly 50 miles away, Sheriff. Take him at least an hour to get to Red Rock. And anyway, what sort of special equipment do they have in Denver? Some gadget that'll shift a mountain, maybe?
Doc, you said it'd be that rock dust that'd kill him.
That's right.
Well, if we could get something to suck up that dust.
A vacuum pipe!
Well, how are you going to get it in there, Jeff? Patty, you saw how small that crack is. Just inches wide. A small, winding passageway, 15, 20 foot long.
Well, could a man squeeze in through there?
Not a hope.
Well, what about a boy?
He'd have to be a mighty brave boy, Sheriff. But, oh, you couldn't send a kid down there. He'd panic. And you can bet your life that no father's going to allow his son to go down a tunnel only inches wide.
No, it's out of the question. There must be some way of getting a pipeline in there. There must be some way.
Well, you're the miners. I'm only a doctor. The vacuum pipe is the answer. Suck up that rock dust and you stand a good chance of giving Forrester a longer lease of life. Then the men could start trying to dig him out.
Working in shifts it'd take them, say 8 or 9 hours to shift that rock.
Then it's hopeless. That rock dust will kill him long.
Oh, I'm going to start him on the job. I can't just wait around like this. Every tunneler dreads being buried alive. But if it happens, he's got a right to know that at least someone's trying to do something to save him. Bingo, Josh, Ken, let's put the men up in the game. Well, let's go.
Jeff, right. Bad to just hang around. Anyway, it'll give the men something to do. What's the matter, Sheriff? You've gone awful quiet all of a sudden.
Hey, Patty, let me go and have a look inside that tunnel, will you?
Sure. Get one of the boys to go with you. You got something in mind?
Look, right this moment, I got a feeling that I'm going plumb loco. But I got this hunch. A 1 in 1,000,000 chance.
1,000,000 to 1.
At least it's odds, ain't it?
Yeah? It's odds. I'll go ahead, Sheriff. Go have a look at the tunnel. Then tell me about this hunt of yours. Well, Doc?
Well, he's still alive, but he'll be unconscious soon.
Sheriff's still in there?
Yep.
What's he doing?
It seems to me like he's measuring that crack.
Paddy Dilly! Hey, Paddy!
Yes, Sheriff, what is it you want?
Listen, you get someone to set up that vacuum pump.
What?
You do as I say, you hear?
Well, okay. Hey, Ringo, John,
yes,
go set up that vacuum gear tunnel. I'll come with you, Paddy.
Come on. What's this all about, Sheriff?
Look, Doc, I got this theory. It's crazy, and it's a cockeyed million to one chance that it will work. But we've got to go through with it.
Go on.
Well, look, I measured that crack that leads into the place where Forrest was trapped. Like you said, it's only a few inches wide. But the way I figure it, someone who was, say, 3.5 foot tall and built proportionately could get in through there.
A small boy? Out of the question.
Not a boy. A full-grown man, Doc. You hear me? A full-grown man.
You've gone out of your head, son.
Look, you remember that carnival show you had the other day before yesterday?
Sure.
All them sideshows. You remember, Doc.
I'll get to the point.
Well, there was one that featured a midget, a dwarf.
Well, what good does that do us, Sheriff? That carnival show pulled out on the night train to Denver.
Yeah, that's right. But the midget missed the train, Doc.
What?
Yes, I got him stashed away in the lockup right this very minute. The guys at the bar were ribbing him, and he cut wild. He fits the bill. And the way he was taking on them rowdies, well, he's got pluck enough for a man twice his size.
Well, how tall is he?
He's not 3.5 feet, Doc, and he's built proportionally.
Well, what are you waiting for? Go get him.
Yes, sir, human nature's just the funniest thing. That's what I always say, the funniest thing. Just a while back, this town was laughing out loud at me. Now when there's a matter of trouble and only a little guy can fix it, so everyone comes hollering to me.
Mr. Miller, there's a man's life at stake.
Mr. Miller now, huh? You know, an hour back, it was, hey, Squirt.
I know that, and I'm sorry.
Oh, don't let it bother you, Sheriff. I'm used to it. Only sometimes I get wild, like tonight. I did kick up a bit of a ruckus back there, didn't I?
Yeah, you've got a lot of courage.
Which is a sort of a roundabout way of saying that I'm going to need a whole heap more before the night's out, eh, Sheriff?
Yep, I guess so.
Well, this is it. I get everything fixed up, Sheriff.
Good. This here's Mr. Matt Miller. He missed the train.
Well, you better come and have a look at the situation, Matt. Maybe you'll think twice about attempting to go through with it.
Oh, well, we'll see.
You pull this off, Matt, and the whole of this town is going to owe you a big debt.
Well, I'll try.
Well, come on, follow me. Okay, make way there.
All right,
come on, make way.
What do you think? You reckon you can get through there tugging a vacuum pipeline along with you?
Oh, I don't know, Doc. It's a mighty small hole.
Yeah, and it extends for 15, 20 feet. Could be more.
15, 20 feet? That's what you think. I'll guarantee when I'm working my way along there, it'll be more like 1,000 miles.
Then you'll do it?
Yeah. It's the only chance this guy's got, isn't it?
Yeah, you better strip down to your pants and shirt. Oh, and I'll put a syringe in your pocket. Try and give Forrester an injection when you get to him.
And I'll fix a lifeline for you, Matt. Rope around your waist.
Oh, won't be any need for that, Mr. Daly.
Yeah, but...
You see, I may be able to reach that little tomb down there, but it's a sense that I'd never be able to make it back. Guess I'll just have to sweat it out with Forrester, that's all. Hey, don't you guys take too long digging your way through, huh?
I promise you we'll go as fast as it's humanly possible.
Okay. Now, Doc, if you'll just show me how that syringe works and where I have to stab the guy with it.
Uh-huh.
After that, I guess I'd better make a start, huh?
Hitch up the vacuum pipe.
All right.
Nat's going on in.
All right. Hold on, Forrester. You've got company down there.
Go get him, man.
But unconscious. Well, how you going here?
Yeah, we're making progress. Man, I never saw these guys working so hard in their born lives.
Oh, he made it, huh?
Sure he did. And now he's sitting down there with Forrester as bold as life, talking away to the doc, pointing to the dozen.
He's got courage, all right. And I had to go and throw him in the calaboose. Man, how am I ever going to live this down?
Down there nearly 6 hours.
Yeah, and Forrester's still alive. Is that vacuum still dragging out the rock dust?
Working like a dream, Sheriff.
It's strange, you know. Mighty strange.
Huh?
Well, if you stop to think about all this, Forrester would be dead by now if it hadn't have been for Nat Miller. And Nat Miller wouldn't have been down there if we hadn't have had that carnival play in Red Rock yesterday.
Yeah.
And even so, he'd have been miles away if we hadn't missed the train. All mighty strange.
Yeah. Well, hey, just stop digging.
Well, what's happened?
Hey, Jeff, why the men stop digging? What's going wrong?
Not a thing, Patty, not a darn thing. It's just we got through to them.
You did?
Yeah, Ringling and a couple others are going in to get them out.
This whole town owes you a debt of gratitude. See, this here's a mining town. While the men were working to free Forrester, they'll all have been thinking one thing. They'll have been thinking, that could have been me in there, trapped.
Yeah, believe me, I know just how it feels.
Hey, here comes the doc. Hey. What's the news on Forrester, Doc?
Boys, he's out of danger now. I thought for a while there he might have contracted pneumonia. But I managed to save it all. Yeah, he's going to be all right. Hey, barkeep, pour me a drink, will you?
Sure thing, Doc.
I want to drink a toast to the man that saved Forrester's life.
You know something?
Nat Miller.
It's frightening, that's what it is. Frightening.
What is?
Well, the way it all panned out. I mean, well, when you get to thinking about it, Nat Miller shouldn't have been here anyway. He should have been on that train on his way to Denver.
Yeah.
You know, I've been giving the thing a lot of thought. How come the tunnel collapsed the night after we had a carnival playing right here at Red Rock? And remember this. No one else but Nat Miller could have gone down that hole. Why, maybe nobody in the whole state of Colorado.
Yeah. And there's 1.25 million souls in the state of Colorado. Yeah, it sure does make you think.
Yeah. Say, how come you missed that train anyway, Nat?
How's that? Oh, well, ordinarily, the carny folks had checked to make sure everyone's aboard. They didn't miss me. I guess I was so small, I got overlooked somehow. Hey, barkeep, okay if I have a drink, huh?
Okay.
Wait, there's more. Thanks.
Be listening for another mounting drama of action and suspense when we again present The 11th Hour.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Well, I guess that wraps up the 11th hour.
It does.
Oh, I got to get in the other room.
Only 7:10.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I am quite sure that we've got something to learn from episode.
We do now.
House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story. From Gar Yet!
It's odd that the opposite of cave-in isn't cave-out.
Cave out. That would be my cave stomach. Out. Cave out.
Yeah, time, I got that problem too.
Hey, here you, brother.
This time went by.
I've been trying to get rid of these twins forever. Yeah.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Have another burger?
Yeah, that's what I say. It solves that and ice cream solves everything, doesn't it, Dave?
It does. It does. The answer to world peace.
It truly is.
Can you can't start a war when you're having ice cream. You just can't do it.
No. Yeah. It just, they don't go together.
I just got on this kick lately of yellow squash, frying up yellow squash with onions and all sorts. Man! Now,
grill it.
I do like ice cream, but yeah.
Grill it. Coat it with some olive oil and grill it. Good stuff. Squash and zucchini. Grill them.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And some grilled onions. Oh, yeah, baby. Good summertime treat. There you go.
Yeah.
That's it for cooking tips.
What do you grill over there, CW?
Moose tracks ice cream, dinosaur tracks ice cream, elephant tracks ice cream.
Okay.
On the grill.
On the grill.
On the grill.
Baked Alaska.
Baked Alaska. Yeah, there you go. I'll give it to you. Here you go. There you go.
Yeah.
I thought that's what global warming was doing. Baked Alaska.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Baked Alaska.
I don't know. I heard a Canadian comic was talking about global warming, and he's like, he says, you don't understand. It's like negative zero here. I'm burning a tire.
Right.
Let it warm. Let it warm.
Just remember, it always depends on which side of the fault line you're on.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah, well, it's not my fault. It's not my fault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyone ever have fried ice cream? Fried ice cream?
Yes, I have. Mexican restaurant around here sells it. It's amazing.
Fried ice cream.
There's a Brazilian thing.
You can fry just about anything. Fried ice cream, fried Twinkies, fried Oreos.
Fried stick of butter.
Fried shrimp. Sausage and shrimp.
Fried Snickers. Fried Milky Way.
Oh, man.
Handmade sausage and Spam.
Yeah, Spam.
Baked beans and Spam.
I've had flaming bananas, but they don't. They call it plantains, maybe. It's from Brazil.
They're
no,
bananas,
bananas Foster. Bananas Foster is flaming. Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, plantain's a little different. They're similar to bananas, but not quite.
Right, yeah. I don't think I've ever had a plantain. I got lost, but never mind. Pay no attention to the man behind the blast.
There you go. but we will pay attention to our next tale.
Woo-hoo! Oh, gotta walk into the room.
And shall we shuffle on over to Theater 5? See what's playing in there?
Sure.
Right. Catch up on a little time with a short...
We got a couple cave-ins to go yet before this night is through.
That's right. Rock fall on head, be not Mart no more. if I ever was. Theater 5, A Little Piece of Candle.
Yeah, baby.
Anybody doing original broadcast dates for this one?
Yes. November 18, 1964. Good year for candles.
Episode
58.
Ooh.
Eddie. Eddie, are you awake? Are your eyes open?
Huh?
Eddie.
Can you hear me now?
Are we out?
Can't we get a light? Are we out? Didn't they come for us?
No, we're still in the dark.
No, they came for us. I heard them. They were banging on the rock.
No, Eddie. You were dreaming.
What do you mean, dream? I heard them. They said, take it easy. They said, my head. My head was...
All of their dreams.
My face is all sticky. What's on me? What's on my head? Something crawled on my head.
Bandage, Eddie.
Ew.
I put a bandage on.
He's sitting in front of Pee-wee Herman.
I did the best I can.
I hit my head.
Red out cold.
I know what ran down my face then, don't I?
You'll be all right, Eddie.
I bet you when we get out of here, my hair's white, dead white.
I don't think we are here that long.
I meant it's white now, right now. What was that, a joke? Like 30 years from now, old men with long white beards will finally... Isn't that funny?
One way or another, Eddie, we are down here only a short time. That's not funny, but better, isn't it? Than a long, long time.
And I dreamed they were here. I could hear them talking to us through the rocks. So real. Take it easy, they said. We're almost through. A little while more. Oh, I felt so good in my dream. I can't wait for it to be like that. I want this over.
No, you stop.
No, I can't wait. I can't wait.
You stop.
Don't hold me.
Stop.
Don't hold me.
Eddie.
We're down here. Here we are. Please.
You bite on something. It'll help you stop. Now bite. Bite.
Bite. I can't.
Ow, not me.
What you do is like a disease. I catch it from you, Jack will catch it from you. We'll kill each other down here, you understand?
If I could see something. If I could look at something like a book.
Here, take a half a dollar and go to the movies.
Now, shut up, Jack. Isn't it enough? I will be quiet nights till they come for us.
Suppose they can't. What if it's more than one big hunk of rock? What if it's a cave-in all the way back down the crosscut? They can't. They really can't.
Now, shut up!
It would be a reason they're still not here, wouldn't it?
You want a reason? I'll give you a good one. So Ilchuk and me are goners. Tough, they say. Too bad. But it's worth it getting rid of that loudmouth Eddie. Let him rot down there, that Eddie. That'd be a reason, too, wouldn't it? Getting rid of you?
What did I do to him? What did I do? He's married to my own sister. His kids and mine. You think I can help it? You think it's a pleasure for me, the thoughts?
Is that all? That's what's bothering you? You got no pleasant thoughts? Be my guest. Like, Ilchuk goes first, and you're screaming your head off. But instead of cutting your throat, I cut mine. And who's left all in the dark with me and Ilchuk dead?
It is not going to be like that. Now, what are you trying to show us, Jack? How brave you are, or how dumb?
Well, let him face it.
You face it. Now, you sit quiet. We got trouble enough. If somebody cracks down here, we got too much to handle. We will all be finished. You understand? We get all out together at the same time, or die all together at the same time.
One for all and all for one. Who are you kidding? Even you don't believe that. Come on, let him flip. Let him crack his head again and shut up.
You leave him alone. You think you push somebody else to die to show you are tough enough to live? You die the same time as him and me, baby. Same time, you see, from thirst. Maybe you are tough enough now to be kind.
Kind? To a couple of crackpots who tell you nothing but how you'll die?
Hey. I hear them.
What?
I hear them. They're coming.
Ilchuk.
It's all right. They're coming.
Ilchuk, he's checked out.
Take it easy. Take it easy. Maybe you'll take it easy, too. Now, if you all bust loose...
Don't you want to bust loose, Ilchuk? Put your ear down, you darn fool. Right on a stone. Right on it. Are you doing it? You got your ear down? You hear?
Walter. No, no. Men. Men walking. Men walking. Close. Men coming close. Walking in the tunnel. Here. Here.
They stopped. They heard it. They heard it. Bang it again. What'd he say? One of them yelled. What'd he say?
They know. They know. They are coming.
I don't understand.
So we are safe, Eddie. We are going to be safe.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. What's the matter?
Who cares what's the matter? Just keep banging that rock. Eddie, you keep your ear down. Put it right down on the cave.
Yeah, that's where I got it. That's where it's been.
What's the matter?
They're not out there. They're not coming down.
What are you talking about?
They're coming up. They're under us. Jack. Jack, I can see you. I can see you.
Ilchuk. Ilchuk. Mother in heaven, I can't stand this.
For real, Jack. For real. Like you're cut out of black paper. You got one hand on top of your head. Still, John.
Yes. Yes, I see. Behind you is the light. And look, look, look. It's getting brighter.
We see your light. We see your light. It's shining up through a hole. Let me over there. Let me over there. Here. Here. Move it. This way. More. More. That's it. Oh, it's shining right in my eyes. You got it right in my eyes. Can you see the hole on your side? Can you see it? Hey, can you? Hey, you with the candle! You guys down there with the light, can you get us out? Can't you get us out? Hey, who are you? Can't you talk? You guys down there with the light!
We'll return to our play in a minute.
In the 1900s, cigarettes were considered so new that we used an average of only 2 packs per person a year. By 1930, that figure rose to 70, and scientists soon became suspicious of cigarettes as a possible health problem. In the 50s, research was going on, both in this country and abroad. By 1962, the average per capita consumption of cigarettes reached 200 packs a year. Something had to be done. One of the reasons for concern is the great increase in lung cancer. In the United States alone, lung cancer deaths have increased from 3,000 in 1930 to 50,000 in 1965. Facts are facts. You can't argue with a fact. You can't ignore it. Or can you? Write for the newest free booklet, Facts About Smoking and Health, U.S. Public Health Service, Washington, D.C., 20201. ¶¶
Let me talk to them. Come over, let me talk.
There's no way out down here.
I told you they're not from up top. Who are you guys? What's your name?
Don't move the light.
Tell them not to move the light. Yeah, the fella.
Clem McKessick. Big Bill Sawmills here. And Eddie Comey.
Who? Who did he say? Clem McKessick. Big Bill Sawmills. Eddie Comey. You know them?
Can you get up here? You got any tools?
Bill Sawmills, I think. I come from the county over the mountain.
Hey, you guys. You got any tools?
No. There's no way out down here.
Could you break your way up? You got the tools to break your way up? You understand? Clem, you understand?
Put your hand down the hole. See what you find.
What did he say? What are you doing? You're cutting off the light.
He's right.
I can't see. Get your arm out.
Rock. Far down as I can reach.
Maybe you could reach up.
What for? To shake hands?
Foot. Maybe they got foot.
I like that light. Tell them to keep shining the light.
You got any water? Any food? We got nothing here. The rock closed down right behind us. We're locked in a pocket.
Maybe they got none they can spare.
Hey! You hear me? What's the matter with them?
Maybe they have to say no.
All the same, ask. Maybe down there water's running off the walls.
You got nothing down there? Say so. It's like he has to think of the words. Like he can't hardly remember how to talk.
Nothing. No water. No food. Nothing to help. Goodbye.
What? Goodbye? You said you had no way out down there.
Got to look. Always got to keep looking. Good luck.
Wait a minute. Wait. Hold them. Make them wait. Wait down there. Clem. Clem, there's something you got. Something that'll help. Come back. Please.
Shane. Come back, Shane. Shane, come back.
Wow.
This thing has a lot of moving parts.
It does.
Yep.
Got to be careful with that kind of machinery, yeah.
Well, lose a finger. Oh.
That's all right. I can grow another one.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. You're part lizard.
Yes.
Where? No.
What do you mean only
what
part?
The heck?
Why I oughta.
You believe it? I lost my blender. Man, where did that go?
I lost my blender down the sewer.
There it is. Why would a blender be in the kitchen? What the hell? Excuse my French. Sorry.
Is it me or are tonight's programs so far like the most, I don't know, it's exciting or intense that we've had in a while? Or like this is really high-strung drama kind of stuff.
It is. Yeah.
These were possibly performed when there wasn't a writer's strike on, because they're very intense.
They weren't allowed to have them back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In another room. I don't know.
They didn't have writer's strikes. They were.
I was talking to somebody about Theater 5, and actually they were wrapped up at 5 o'clock to catch the traffic and the car traffic, and then they aired again at 11 o'clock. So, thought that was an interesting little thing.
It is.
What, Dave? Are you saying that they aired this live?
No, they were recording, but they aired about 5 o'clock to catch your afternoon traffic, people driving home.
Right.
And then again at 11 o'clock.
Mm.
Which back then would have been right after news, because a lot back then in 64, your
right.
news was on a lot of times at 10:30
right.
at night,
right.
the local
yep.
news. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. People weren't allowed to stay up as late back then.
No. That's before Carson. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a good
yeah.
one.
was pre-Carson, those pre-Carson days.
In the history of radio, because I know that radio is on 24/7 now, but was there a time when radio went off the air?
It depended on your station and your frequency you were on. If you were on a certain frequency, you had to sign off at dusk, and then you could sign back on it at sunrise.
At dusk? Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Whole lot going on at night.
Yeah, which means in wintertime around here, by 4:30, you'd have to shut your station down.
Yeah, I'd be like, what the heck? Yeah. See you in the morning. So long.
Yeah, it's going to be quiet.
Wow. Yeah, real quiet.
You only needed two disc jockeys. Yeah.
Have you guys ever, like, and this would be like more in the 70s or 80s, sometime in there, gotten in a car and driven long distances, like in between towns and stuff, and still tried to tune in radio?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
To see if absolutely.
Yeah.
That was fun. That was a challenge.
Yeah.
That's why our AM radios were so much better, because they were made for that purpose. To try and pick up your distant stations while you were driving along.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And then the only downside to that would be you're driving, you get a station, you're listening to it. Oh, this is pretty cool. And then you drive out of range.
Yeah. Just as you're getting into it.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. You know.
Sorry. You lose.
They play Monster from Steppenwolf, and right halfway through the song, it fades out. Yeah. If you're familiar with that song, I don't know.
I happen to be. I like that one by Steppenwolf.
I love that one. Oh my, yeah. I don't know if I tear up when I hear it, but I definitely love it.
Yep. See, if we were allowed to play copyright stuff, we'd love to have an all music night with songs like that, monster related. Hey, it'd be fun.
You know my motto.
What's CW?
Yeah, so you're talking about a night of monster music?
Yes.
No, well, Monster is the name of a song that the group Steppenwolf.
Dale was talking about a night of monster music, yeah. Dale was talking about that.
But it has monster in the title.
Novelty.
There you go.
Novelty.
Sorry about that. Yeah, I was on the road for a bit there, so I was... Your signal was hopping in and out.
On the road.
I need a bigger dish array on the vehicle.
Be careful saying those words.
Wow. Moving right along.
That's my bad. That was me. That's me. That's all on me.
Moving right along.
Tongue twister. There you go.
Clearly a slip of the tongue.
I was referencing Digger Odell.
There you go. Yes. Good backwalking. All right, there you go.
Little piece of candle from Theater 5. Let's wrap it up. Here's part 2.
Come back! Please! Oh, what are you begging for?
Back.
Don't he feel bad enough? If he had anything to give, he...
Nothing. No water. No food.
You got a light. Please, you got another one. Another light. Even if it would last only a minute.
You lose.
Even if we don't get to use it. Just having it. You hear me?
Can't sleep at night.
Yeah.
Could you see? Please. Could you see, Clem?
I could see.
He's going to ask. Maybe one of them could spare it. Me, or it would make a difference. Even if I was dying, I'd light it so that it would go on burning a little afterward. Like when my father was laid out in our back room all night long, he had a candle. You don't get a light in your grave.
Oh, who cares what you get? You go.
Before you go. You know what I mean? This way, this place don't become our grave. Not till the light goes out.
Put your hand down. Breathe.
They can spare a light.
Wear deodorant.
Listen, we're all going to meet on the top, okay? Now, I'm putting my hand down now.
Thank you.
I'm putting my hand out. I
I don't feel nothing. We don't reach.
Eddie.
I got it in my grubby little fist. I wouldn't drop this for... Oh, a stub of candle, a couple of wooden matches. I got it, Clem. You'll make it. You'll make it. We'll see you. We'll see you. And thank you. I thank you all.
So, where are we that we weren't before?
We're more than three. We're a lot. We're enough so they'll tear the mountain apart to get us out.
Hey, stop and think about it. They're a long time coming. How long do you think we've been down here? Thatcher's a guy dying inside a mountain. They're probably arguing who's going to head up the donut committee and the baby...
Hey, you hear that?
What?
I heard something. Are they coming back?
I didn't hear nothing.
You were talking. It was different. This time it came from that way.
What way? What you talking about? Like the light.
Like a hiss. Put your ear down.
We've been over this place with our hands. Aren't we going to try it with our eyes?
I hear something. I don't know. If it's the noise inside my head, maybe it's raining on the top. Maybe that's why we hear thunder.
Who cares? Light the candle. I'd rather use it trying to stay alive than burning at my wake.
They'll chuck.
Who knows what they'll see?
All right. All right. 1 minute of candle, 1 match. Hello, Ilchuk. How are you, Jack?
You sound like you found a home.
Yeah. Well, I'm still going like a trip hammer inside, but it ain't ahead of me. I caught up to it. Something about those guys passing under me like that.
We are never going to move this rock. We never, never move this rock. Now, you blow the candle out now. Save it.
Wait a minute. Keep it.
No, I haven't got that much.
Till I find that hole. I hear it. I hear the thunder. There, couldn't you wait?
I'm saving it.
I told you to keep it burning.
You found the hole? You need a light to listen? Water.
The mountain's busted open down there. How do you like it? Isn't that great? Listen to it. We're due to die of thirst, and there's tons and tons of water. A flood of it, just when we need it, just out of reach.
Flood. A flood.
They'll
chuck.
Maybe they'll find a slope. Maybe the tunnel down there turns uphill.
They're drowning down there. They're drowning down there.
Maybe not. Maybe they find one good high place. Maybe the water won't rise. It could pour down, back down. That happens sometimes. Pour back in, deep down. The tunnel doesn't fill up.
Yeah. Some other time. Not this time. They got to find a high place. Higher than ours. Because this time... It's coming up the hole. It's a gusher. Get your drink, boys. Go on, get your drink before you drown in it. Maybe they find higher place. Up there. Higher than the mountain. Higher than the sky. That's the only one good high place, you'll chuck. You think they'll let us in, a couple of dirty miners? We're going deeper. Deeper, you'll chuck, where the water is hot.
Feel over your head. Feel over your head for the highest hole you can find.
Eddie, light your candle, huh? Now's the time. Now, let's see if it can burn a little afterwards underwater.
Now, this is the highest. Eddie, have you got a higher one?
One for all and all for one. You called it, Ilchuk. We all go together, all at the same time, from first. You said from first.
How's Eddie doing, Doc?
Well, we've got one live one.
Breathing by himself, but still out. Can't say yet about the others.
This
Gee, get the others.
All right, Eddie, it's all right.
The others, I want to go back for the others.
We got you all, Eddie. I told you, we got you all. We've been through this twice already, Dan. He keeps talking about others.
What others? He, Jack, and Ilchuk were the only ones down there.
They're under us. They're waiting for us.
Eddie, nothing was under you. You were at the lowest point in the mine.
Oh, Clem McCatrick was there, and Big Bill saw me, and Eddie Coleman.
All right, are you conscious now, Eddie? How many fingers?
Never mind your fingers. Those guys are down there.
Eddie, Doc, wait a minute.
Those guys are down there, I tell you.
I don't think so, Eddie. Not the way you mean. Maybe you read them on the list somewhere. McCatrick, Big Bill, Coming. Sound like names I heard or read about. Guys long ago who never came up from a mine.
They were real. Clem was real. I touched his fingers through the rock.
Eddie. Now, once you've had some warm food,
here,
would you...
Here, give me these. He gave me this.
You
this.
Think he did, Eddie. You know, sometimes the mind plays tricks.
Doc, wait a minute. Take a look at them.
A little piece of candle. Some matches.
They haven't been made like that, Doc. Not for 75 years.
Dun, dun, dun.
Has presented A Little Piece of Candle, written by William Morin and directed by Ted Bell. In the cast, Peter Fernandez, Vashek Shimek, Robert Dryden, Dave Kerman, and William Bassett. Audio engineer Marty Folia. Sound technician Ed Blaney. Script editor Jack C. Wilson. Original music by Alexander Vlastotsenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Osser. We hope you've enjoyed our first drama and invite you to stay tuned for our second play, Captain Gamble's Uniform. This is WLSFM 94.7, your sound decision in Chicago radio.
Wow, some heavy-duty questions in the chat. Angel, I don't remember. It's got to be more than 10 years because that goes back to the original Monster Channel streaming on live stream. Goes back to those days, I think.
Okay.
And when the Vortex was known as Alternative Realities, that's how long ago it was, forever and ever and ever. So it's probably a good 12 years, Angel. Gar, you and I don't know.
Okay, it was back when Jack and you were doing a radio thing. What
right.
was that?
Oh, okay. How so that's about 8 years ago.
Wow. See, well, there you go.
Was it towards the end of that run? Then it would be about 8 years ago because Dave and I have been at this 7.5 years now.
There you
or
go.
Seven years. 7 years.
My first exposure to you was Jack was on there and you were interviewing Misty Brew.
Yeah, that would be 2015, I'd say. 2014,
wow.
2015, yeah. And Dave?
Crazy.
How the hell did I meet you? Somewhere on the internet, I think.
I know. I don't remember meeting Dave either, although we had broken bread.
Yes. I'm trying to think, Dale, it was...
well, you better
it
fix
before,
it.
It was before the... well, you helped me break into the Creepy Castle TV show.
I'm trying to remember where I saw your show. Maybe links from Facebook, possibly. And I met you early on at trade shows, like Gulardi Fest and stuff.
Right, Gulardi Fest. Yeah.
That's where I think I got to know you from, maybe.
I think that was at one of the Gulardi Fests, yes. I'm not sure which one it was, but... you and I have been to most all of them, if not all of them. We didn't know each other until the last five of them, maybe six.
Yeah, something like that. Yep.
So yeah. When did I meet you, Dave? This is all. Nobody can remember anything.
Well, I could tell you that. Hang on just a second. I'm going to pull up the...
He has it tattooed on his leg.
No. It's when you started coming on the Erie House Radio.
Ah.
And I have you down for January 13th of 2017.
Yes.
And then we met on Erie House Radio. And that's when I first met you. Now, you'd met Dale before that, but I did not meet you in the sense of until then.
Yep. Yeah, I met Dale on a one-off, and then he said, hey, man, you coming back? And I was like, huh? What?
Yeah. Yeah. You're funny. You're a funny dude.
You're a funny guy. Hey, are you saying I make you laugh? What are you saying over there? I make you. I am funny to you.
A clown to amuse you.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Joe Pesci.
There's a moral. There was a moral to our little escapade into cave living.
Erie House Radio proudly presents our second Gar's Moral of the Story by Gar Nolan.
Everyone knows ghosts don't exist until they do. There you go.
Need a response for that.
I love that. Hawaiian war chant? Yes?
No.
Indian
love song. Yeah, Indian love call.
Yeah. I get them so mixed up.
Makes aliens' heads explode.
That was the fun. I don't know how anyone put those two together, but
Tim
that
Burton.
Was the funniest. Tim Burton. Okay, yeah. But
that
was
it all.
It was the funniest thing I've seen outside of there was a War of the Worlds redo with Tom, I forget his name, short guy.
Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise.
That guy, yeah. And
yeah,
there's a scene
that.
In there where a train comes zooming by. And that's okay. Train zoomed by. But this one's on fire. And I was like, what in the heck? It was on fire. And that gave me that same knee-jerk. Huh?
Well, in Mars Attacks, there was a whole stampede of cattle that was on fire, if you recall.
Yeah. It was crazy.
At the beginning.
It was insane. It was.
Could one have inspired the other? I wonder.
Yeah, there you go. Well, a train is likened to a herd of cattle. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've heard of cattle.
You haven't heard of cattle?
I've heard of cattle, yeah. They have big horns and... Sometimes get milk, and if you grab the right one.
What is it? I saw a sign up on someone's fence, and it said, if you wander into the pasture, I hope you can make it across in a minute and a half, because our cow can go faster than that, or something like that.
And one last thought. Thanks, good old Bob, for We Come in Peace. We Come in Peace. Another funny line, they just blew up Congress. Love that line.
Yeah. And
the old lady.
Man, why couldn't that happen today? That would be nice.
Oh, that good drama.
Yeah. Hey, it would make CNN, wouldn't it? Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But then we'd have to figure out what really happened. Let's go with one more show called The Cave.
Oh, that's right.
From Suspense. This
back
one was
to the other room.
Originally broadcast way back.
July 5th, 1955.
You betcha.
Why not?
And now, tonight's presentation of radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense. Tonight, the story of murder in a sealed coal mine. We call it The Cave-In. So now, starring Mr. Ben Wright, here is tonight's suspense play, The Cave-In.
Four, please. Hurry. Yes, it's the Clenworth scene. I don't know. Put in the call, will you? Mr. Garth, this is Mr. Flowers. It's a bad fall, Mr. Garth. Most of them got out, but a few are still down there. We don't know how many. I don't think there's been an explosion. Can you come down right away, sir? How is it down there, Will?
I didn't turn around to look, Mr. Flowers. I ran for the sake of my life when I heard it coming.
Haven't you got any idea who's still in it?
Oh, I'm not sure. I was working along with you, Davis, Evan Lewis, and David Owen. I think maybe Four Williams is with us too, but I can't be certain.
All right. As soon as the dust is cleared a bit, we'll go down. Have any other men come up?
I was the last, I think.
Oh, answer it, will you, Thomas?
Yes, sir.
Matter with the thing. Why don't they answer up there?
The fall probably knocked it out. You're wasting your time.
Oh, well, no harm trying, eh? Hello, hello. Wait a bit. Hello. Emlyn, can you hear me? It's David Owen. Yes.
Tell him what's happened. Tell him.
Emlyn, there's four of us in here. End of the shaft. You, Davis, Evan Lewis, and me. There's Ivor Williams, too, yeah. No. Ivor Williams. But he's dead. And you better have a policeman ready if you ever get us out, because he's been murdered.
I was police inspector in charge of the district, which included Glenowit, a village in South Wales. It was ugly, with the grey ugliness of mining country. Dirty, sullen, with the inevitable poverty. I learned what had happened from the constable who drove me to the mine. There was a light drizzle falling, and it seemed that the entire village was gathered on that desolate spot. I saw Mr. Flowers standing near a shed at the entrance.
Mr. Flowers?
What is it, Constable?
This is Inspector Glidd, sir.
How do you do, sir?
Mr. Flowers? Any news?
Relief crew's been down there 2 hours now, sir. Should be coming up any minute.
How are they? Is the three in the shaft?
Mostly thirst, from what he says. Air's not too good either.
Get any more details on the murdered man, Williams?
Not much. He complained of a stomachache just before the cave-in and afterwards, before he died. He had convulsions like. At least that's what they say down there.
Well, that sounds like poison.
The shot fire man, David Owen, talked to me on the phone from down there. He says he knows it's poison. He's a St. John's ambulance man.
Any progress getting the others out?
Slow, very slow. It's worrying. Very, very loose down there, very loose. If there's another fall, well, you can see we can't afford to blast.
I'd like to go down when you get close enough.
No, I couldn't allow that, Inspector.
Well, I'm afraid you'll have to. It's my job, you know.
It's too dangerous.
When those men are reached, I want to be on the spot.
I'm not interested in policemen. I've got work to do. Something that might not interest you, mister. Saving lives, not hunting them. Excuse me now.
Mr. Flowers meant no offense, sir. He's worried.
I don't blame him.
There's Will Vaughan just come up from the shaft. Maybe he knows something. Will? Will Vaughan?
Hello!
Any news, Will?
Nothing much.
This is Inspector Glidd. He's here for the murder.
Oh. Well, I'm glad you're here. The chaps and me were talking while we were digging. We thought somebody better know.
No?
About Ivor Williams.
About him?
He was no good. No good at all, that Ivor Williams. It's better you know the truth than find out lies. That's what the chaps and me decided.
What is the truth?
Ivor Williams was a lad with the girls. It was more than one fight he had over it.
Oh.
So it's a great many men in Klinoeth who are not sorry to see him gone.
Well, is that all?
Yes, I'm grieved for his wife, poor woman. She was a fool to marry him, but it was for love.
Since you've gone so far, will you name some names?
Oh, it would take a dozen men or more. There's those three still in the shaft. David Owen, for instance. It is his daughter, Glynis, that's the latest trouble. There she is, standing with by Mr. Flowers, over there, the dark girl.
Oh? Aoife Williams was interested in her?
Interested? From the talk of the women, it is more than that. David Owen swore he'd give Williams a terrible beating if he didn't stay away from his daughter.
I see.
Then you, Davis? That is Glynis's man. They are to be married. You knows about the talk. He had a proper rage about it. Oh, poor chap, it does him little good now.
You know that you've given those two men a motive for murder?
Now, that's only two. What about Evan Lewis? They fought but 2 days before the fall. And I can go on with more.
And you may have to, when the time comes.
It'll be the old village you can arrest before you are done. It is a great waste of time. Make your report that he died in the fall. It will save you the trouble.
The day passed, and it became dark. Floodlights blazed down on the mine entrance. Then the crews went down, then came up again. The women brewed tea, made food for the men. Another day came, and the voices of those who were trapped behind tons of coal and dirt were suddenly gone. The telephone line had failed. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the superintendent sent word to me that the next crew expected to break into the shaft. I was given clothing and a helmet. Then a few minutes later, a coal truck was rolling down the lines deep into the mine. Mr. Flowers and Will Vaughan were among those with me.
All right, boys.
Mind your head, sir.
I will.
We're shoring up with timbers as we go. That's the job of the shifters over there.
All right, easy now. We shouldn't have more than a dozen feet to go, but slow, slow's the word. You two start with the picks. We'll take turns. Oh, if you must be here, you must, Inspector, but stand out of the way.
Give me a shovel. I can help.
Policeman in the pits. All right, there's one on the truck. Wait a bit.
You'd have made a miner, you would.
I was once. I think it's easier being a policeman.
Is it?
Try again. See if you can get an answer, Will. Do you hear anything?
No.
Who is it?
There! There! I heard it! They're all right.
Here, give me the pick. I'll have a go for a bit.
Oh, thanks. I'm about done.
We were working in a tunnel now big enough for only 2 men at a time. One working with pick, one carrying the dislodged dirt and rock to the entrance. It was a shaft within a shaft. The men could only work a few minutes at a time, and it was our turn, Will Vaughan and myself. We measured our progress by inches, lying on our stomachs, hacking at the unyielding earth, ducking as a miniature landslide fell about, coughing in the dust it raised. Will Vaughan had crawled to the tunnel entrance when my pick lodged in a seam. I tugged at it, and then... I'm through!
Are you all right in there?
Yes, yes. Can we get out?
I hope you brought some water with you.
We did. Bring some water in.
Yes, we're bringing it.
Can you walk?
All of us except Ivor Williams. Come on, I don't want to look at him anymore. I'll drink outside.
What's that?
Come on, it's another fall. Come on! It was such a very little tunnel, wasn't it?
took you so long to make. Now it's gone. What a shame you didn't bring in some water with you.
We stood there, heads bent a little, looking at what had once been the way to safety. 3 feet inside the tunnel, it was black. Black with the solidity of a wall. I knew that the tunnel was 12 feet long, and there was no way of knowing how much of the mine had caved in beyond. I turned away. The dead man, Aoife Williams, lay huddled in a corner. When I looked at him, I knew it was poison. The blue lips, fingernails. And as I moved away, I suddenly realized how thirsty I was.
Might as well sit down and wait.
Have you got a cigarette?
Yeah.
No, it'll make you more thirsty.
You should have brought water in with you.
I am sorry.
Oh, it's not your fault.
What happened to the telephone?
They don't know. They were trying to find out when I came down.
Oh, well, it's not too bad. The air's better now. They'll get through again.
What's your name?
Glid. Harry Glid.
He's the district inspector, Huey, didn't you know?
Then that's a very dirty-faced policeman you are.
Yes. What about him?
The dead one? Oh, we've talked about it. The boys.
What difference does it make now?
It's the law, Hugh. A person doesn't kill. That's the law.
You think you know who did it?
Yes.
Remember now, I'm not agreed to it. Don't forget that.
Nor I.
His wife, Catherine Williams. She stood more than a body can bear, and I, for one, hold no blame.
Why do you think she did it? I mean, proof?
Because of my daughter, Glynis.
Don't say it, Mr. Owen. Don't say it.
There are a number of things I already know, Davis.
Sir, Glynis never went with him, Mr. Owen. It's a dirty lie, made up by a lot of chattering old women with nothing better to do.
She's my daughter, Hugh. I would feel it as much as you. I say it's true. Catherine Williams found out, and it was too much for her.
That still isn't proof.
No, it isn't. Catherine couldn't do a thing like that. She didn't.
I heard him. I heard him in the pub. He was drunk and laughing.
He may have tried to make up to her, but she wouldn't have let him. I was angry at the time, but Glynis wouldn't have let him. We are engaged.
Nobody's arguing about that, Hubach. Let me finish. He was saying that he had some money put away, that as soon as there were a few more pounds, he was going to divorce Catherine and take Glynis away with him.
That's silly. Loud talk. You know it, Mr. Owen. That's all it was.
Maybe. But if the word got back to Catherine Williams, what then?
So then Catherine Williams killed him. And here we are. And who will be there to testify against her? Oh, I wish I had a drink of water.
Not sure what happened there. I guess I end up part one. Sort of abrupt.
End of part one. Place commercial here.
Yes, insert baby. that sounds horrible. Yes. Well, Angel, do that reunion show. By all means. By all means. It would be fun. And, I think we lost CW, did we not?
Let me see.
Well, no, she'll be back. She's in traffic, so let's be patient and assume all is well. As we move on to our part two, I think we lost Gar, too. Gar, are you here?
He might have his mute on.
Yeah, he does. He's on the phone. Yeah, with us. No, he's getting something technical fixed. We might as well wrap up this episode, right, Dave?
We might as well.
We'll sneak it in as abruptly as part one ended. The conclusion of The Cave-In from Suspense.
Now and again we tried the phone, but there was no sound. We sat in darkness a good deal, conserving the batteries in our lamps. And there was always the dead man in the mine. None of us wore a watch, and after a little while, time became something that was only counted in the remembrance of what seemed an age ago. They had been without water for nearly 2 days, and I knew what a torture it was becoming. My own mouth was dry and bitter. It may have been hours, it may have been another day. We took turns at the little tunnel, tearing at the loose dirt and rocks with our hands, and we became tired. Very quickly.
It's funny.
What?
I remember last week. I went to the tap and drank a glass of water. And then I filled the glass again because I thought I was still thirsty. But I wasn't anymore, and so I threw it away. I threw away the lovely water. Oh, it made a cool sound.
That's enough.
If I want to talk about water, Evan Lewis, I shall talk about water. It is a great comfort for me.
Well, not for me. Shut up.
You are not telling me to shut up.
Look, you know, this isn't going to do any good. Save your strength.
What for? So that we can die more slowly?
Hugh, try the telephone again. It may be working.
As soon as I get my breath. In a minute.
I'll do it.
No. Nothing.
Oh, well. I'm going to have a bit of sleep. Put out the light.
Why doesn't he stop staring at me?
Easy, man, easy. He's not staring. We've covered his face.
No, he's staring. Look at him. Make him stop.
Oh, you can't even see him, Evan. There's no light. The dead can do you no harm. Oh, now, try to sleep. It will make the time pass sooner.
I'm going to dig again. I'm not going to sit here to die. Give me a hand, Mr. Lidd.
Our hands were bleeding, and every handful of rock and coal and dirt was an agony to pull away. The darkness was never ending. And as our batteries began to fail, it became a terrifying, alive thing. It was Hugh Davis who found the tea can. It glinted dully in the orange glow of his lamp.
Look! Oh, look at this, boys! Listen to it!
It's a tea can!
Wet! Oh, it's wet! Did you ever hear a lovely sound like it?
We can measure it out. There's enough there. You chaps first. I'll miss this round. You've been here longer.
Share and share. Be careful, you. Don't spill it.
The lid's jammed. I... There.
No, you can't have it.
Give it back, Evan. Give it to me.
Don't be an idiot. There's enough for all. You'll have your share.
No, stay back. Stand where you are or I'll pour it out.
Evan.
No.
You'll drink one drop of that, Evan Lewis. And I'm going to kill you.
Come along now. You can have the first drink. That's all right. It's all right.
It is. It is. It's Ivor's. He's dead. He doesn't need it anymore. And he's left enough for us all. Thank you, Ivor. Thank you.
He's gone mad.
I'm going to sit here with my tea. And you'll all watch me, but you can't have any. No, don't come near. Don't come near.
All right.
We can't let him.
Hush, you, Bach.
Have a sip and then pass it, eh, Lewis, man?
Oh, no, no. I'm keeping it.
Go on, then. But don't forget, Evan. When we are outside, I am going to kill you. You remember what I say? You'll not be fit to live.
What's the matter with him? Why doesn't he drink then and have done?
I wonder.
Stay there. Don't come near.
Why don't you drink it? If you're not going to, give it to us.
No, it's mine. Stay away. I'll pour it out.
Go on, then. Pour it out.
I will. Stay away.
Why don't you drink it? Shall I tell you why? Because I think you know what's in it. You can't drink it, can you?
Yes. If I want to, I will, too.
Ephor Williams drank some of that tea, didn't he? Before he died.
I don't know. Don't you come closer to me.
Drink it, then. Go on.
I will. But if you come closer, I'll pour it out. Then no one will have it.
Don't. He means it, Mr. Lid.
What did you put in that tea before you came down?
Nothing.
Then why are you afraid?
I'm not.
There isn't much choice, is there? You're dying of thirst, but if you drink, you'll die of poison. Is that it?
No.
You know, if we want to get it, we can. Not enough will spill out. Why don't you give it to me now?
I can't.
Uh-huh. You killed him, didn't you? Give it to me.
No, you're not going to have me. I'll drink it, see?
Don't, Mr. Glade. Come back here. Don't do it, Evan. Don't. We'll stand by you.
Get away from me.
Oh, boy, Evan, why did you do it?
He was wicked, Owen. Ungodly. He deserved to die. He was cruel. He made my life a misery. I was engaged to Catherine 10 years ago, and he stole her from me. He deserved to die. Oh, the way he treated her.
Oh, I'm sorry, Evan. I am sorry.
It doesn't matter anymore. We'll not get out anyway. It's better to go quickly by drinking this.
No, don't. Don't, Evan.
The telephone.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Glid.
Yes.
Are you all right?
Yes, we all are.
We'll be to you soon. It wasn't a bad fall, only a few feet. The men are clearing away now. Hold on.
Thank you. Thank you very much. They'll be through in a few minutes. We waited, watching, listening. Evan Lewis crouched away from us, the spout of the tea can raised to his lips.
Look, it's breaking through.
They'll not hang me. They'll not.
Stop it. Stop.
No. Let him do it.
It's let go of me.
No. Hugh, help me.
I've got him.
It's poison. He's drinking the poison. You're letting him die. You're killing him.
It's the better this way.
You can let him go now, Hughie.
Thank you, Owen. Thank you.
We were brought to the surface, but it was useless for Evan Lewis. The doctor worked over him, and for the second time, his life was saved. Saved for the trial, which convicted him of murder.
Suspense, in which Mr. Ben Wright starred in tonight's presentation of The Cave-In. Next week, another terrifying and provocative story by Mr. Ray Bradbury. We call it Kaleidoscope. That's next week on Suspense. Suspense is produced and directed by Anthony Ellis, who wrote tonight's script. The music was composed by Rene Garrigan and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Featured in the cast were Richard Peel, Tudor Owen, Jay Novello, Joe Kearns, John Dodsworth, and Charles Davis. Listen while you work. The Road of Life is here on the CBS Radio Network.
Tales from the Ghost. Go to proof.
Greatest marches in history.
Marching through the tunnel, through the cave, through the cave.
It's right.
Where are they marching to? That's the question.
We could call that song the Erie House March into the Swamp. How's that?
There you go. Where we belong.
The Erie Swamp March. Yes. Yes. Another faux pas on a hot mic. Thank you very much. Oh, my gosh.
And best of all, I'll bet we learned something from that last episode.
Yeah, we did.
Erie House Radio proudly presents What's Left of Gar's Moral of the Story. That's What's Left of Gar.
If you get caught in a cave in a cave-in, don't you become a caveman? There you go.
Or a cave-woman. Oh, let's be fair.
Or a cave-woman, yes. That was where CW was going to... Box my ears.
Yeah, sorry.
Ega.
Another public domain classic.
That last show raised a question I've always had. My biggest question about lethal injection is that alcohol swab they give them before.
Yeah, why do they do that? Yeah.
In the cave-in thing, they save the guy just to hang him. It's like,
yes.
Why?
Because we got to kill him legal. It's the inhumane.
Yeah, we can't let him commit suicide. Right, we got to kill him fair and square.
That's right, kill him legal. By the book.
Speaking of cave dwellers, is that movie Trog, is that in public domain yet?
No.
No, I do not believe it is.
It's not?
No.
Really?
It's from the 70s, I think.
I blame Joan Crawford.
And a lot of people do. So does Betty Davis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So does her daughter. Oh, wow. Too soon.
So does the wire. She's also blamed by the Wire Manufacturers of America.
That's right.
Notice
there are very rarely seen any wire hangers now. They got the wood and the plastic ones, see?
Yeah, the plastic ones took over.
Yeah.
It's true.
I have some wood ones here somewhere. I think I do.
Got wood.
And for those of you who are mystifying why we're referencing wire hangers and John Crawford, watch the movie.
Yeah.
Does it have anything to do with an underwire?
Yes. Got to keep up with our wacky references.
Underwire. No, not underwire.
No,
not that
kind
of wire.
I was guilty of that too, Gar. I was guilty of that too.
Garrett,
Did
he say he's not wearing any underwire?
Only on Tuesday, because that's bath day.
That's
bath day. No underwire. That's right.
Underwire. Bath day? Why, it's not even November yet.
Oh, well, there, yeah. I'll give it to you.
My eyes are burning. The fun we get to have.
This had to be one of the most complex collection of stories we've had in a while. Blah, blah.
They were certainly suspenseful and packed with adventure and drama. And maybe it's me because I do have a little bit of claustrophobia. So being caught in a cave-in would be very bad for me and those around me. I may well snap.
Yeah. Well, the biggest goof on all that would be the sensory deprivation you would have.
True. Good old Bob says, you know, they won't hang a criminal if they're sick. That's another weird rule. That's right. Because we got to kill you. They're waiting until he's better and then hang him.
Oh,
we got to kill you all the way, not just part
That's
way.
Right.
We got to kill you all the way.
There you go. Well, make sure you never go to the Seattle Underground tours. For Fogsbane is no doubt well aware that that's real from the Carl Koshak scenario.
From the second made-for-TV movie.
Yeah.
You know, there was a third story that was written by that. We had Mark Dawidziak on, and he talked about that a little bit. And
yes.
It was supposed to be a trio of movies. And the third one was written when they ended up back in New York. And for whatever reason, I guess because they were working on the pilot the other two were served as a pilot, and they ordered the TV series up. And
yeah,
but they had that third script that was never filmed.
Oh
man,
Amazon Hulu, anybody, what I wouldn't give to see that done. Come on, somebody.
The one time I'm really in favor of IA, bring back Darren McGavin to be in the Night Stalker New York adventure.
I'll raise you one on that front, okay? If you're going to do AI, right, one of the greatest of all time missing films, horror film, of course, is highly documented with photos. Recreate London After Midnight. Oh, my God.
After Midnight.
Oh, yes.
I knew it. I knew you were going to say that. Yeah. Yes. London After Midnight. Oh.
There is plenty of, and I'm probably giving away a really good idea here for somebody that can get to the resources and do it like straight up. But honestly, it's highly documented with photos. I mean, highly, and portions of script. It's just the damn film that's missing. And I don't go much for AI and I don't go much for remakes, but that movie is just one of the most highly sought lost films of all time. And it would be highly interesting to see how it would come out.
See, Dale, I didn't know if you were going to go with that After Midnight thing or Heidi versus King Kong. I wasn't sure.
Well, the Heidi film, too. Yeah, there's a lot of...
Well, why didn't they just ask me for my copy?
I'm not allowed to have copies of Heidi.
No.
Yeah, potential for legal action. I don't know.
There's an entrepreneur out there who just wants has just a plenty of cash. You know, they don't feel like going into outer space. You know, they've got a few $1 million just lying in the corner collecting dust.
Right.
Dale's idea, AI, London After Midnight, or Carl Koshak, the third story.
Why not both?
They did
Let's
a,
be greedy.
They did a Night Stalker reboot in the 90s or the 2000s, and it was awful.
It was tough.
Well, and one of the things
That's
they tried to do
know,
is they did a
yeah.
CGI for Darren McGavin, and it was bad. as bad.
There was one good thing that came out of that. There was one good thing that came out of that show. Had it not been for that, I don't know if they ever would have released on the DVD officially the Night Stalker series.
Yeah, and I got that.
Had it not been for that show, they released it in order to help build suspense for the new TV series.
Leave it to Dave to point out the bright side. Is there ice cream in this?
There is. Heidi brand ice cream. There you go.
There you go. Oh. God.
But they did not super edit that DVD collection. I've got it, and I was kind of disappointed. It was way too dark, and if they had the masters, it should have been much better.
I think you can get Blu-rays now, if I'm not mistaken.
But are they Heidi edited movie? Any better? Yeah, Heidi. Yes. King Kong, Heidi. Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Free ice cream. They give you coupons with every purchase.
They should.
Yeah, but it's Tutti Frutti ice cream, so I don't know.
Tutti freaking Frutti.
Baked Alaska fried ice cream. I mean, you make your Alaska and then you fry it.
Now you're talking.
Then you freeze it. Yeah, there you go. No. Have any of you people ever had Tutti Frutti? I have never had Tutti Frutti. What the heck? Now I'm curious. I have the internet at my beck and call.
I've had Rocky Road.
Yep.
Yeah, Rocky Road is not horrible, but I've never had Tutti Frutti.
Tutti freaking Frutti. Okay. That's a reference to Devil's Rejects. If you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. Enough said.
Candy papaya, bitch.
You've seen it, obviously, CW.
Pineapple, cherries, currants, watermelon rind. Watermelon rind? That doesn't sound good. Apricots and various berries.
Really?
All right. Yeah.
This looks like you're just tossing in leftovers from a fruit salad and freezing it.
Yeah, pretty much.
There's all kinds of ice cream flavors. I'm surprised they don't have corn cob.
Oh, they do. They do.
Oh, God.
It's Dorito-flavored corn cob ice cream. Dorito-flavored corn cob ice cream.
Dorito-flavored. Wow,
and Gar, you were mentioning Bananas Foster. There is I have seen a Bananas Foster ice cream.
Ooh, there you go. I'm still holding out. I want to get my French's brand mustard-flavored ice cream.
I'm getting the brakes on that one.
Ice cream with mustard for? Come on.
Why would you do that?
To the Kraft horseradish ice cream. It's like right there.
Yeah. The only ice cream that melts before you get it to melts on your spoon, not in your mouth.
Face, not on your spoon or something.
Mm-hmm.
And for those that imbibe, of course, there's wide varieties of ice creams. There's an ice cream shop in New York City that has liqueur in it, real liquor. I mean, you don't give that to your kids unless you want them, weaving
they
down.
Sleep. They do have that around here. So what's happening on Erie House tomorrow night, Dale?
I was just getting to that. CBS Radio Mystery Theater, The Deadly Hour. That's right here at 6:30 Eastern, and right after at 8:00.
If I works well, Horrible Horror starring Gar the Ghoul on Twitch, blah blah. If I can get that to work, blah blah.
He's back.
Yeah. I went through the entire show last week, and only in the last segment did my voice go, "Nope, see ya." And I was like, "What?"
That's when you have to learn how to sign. Or put Garrett Morris in the corner.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him. When next we meet in Frankenstone.
Thank you very much, Vincent. And her.
Don't women. Come alone.
We'll be back.
And you dig it.
Current.
Perfect.
Lock the door. Okay, there we go. Door's locked.
Dave Wyman. Always be equal.
Cave person.
We're almost done with caving in. Now we're working with caving out.
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned earlier, I've been caving out for a while.
Yeah, me too, brother. Me too. Today was a great day as far as weather. We had storms roll in, and the temperatures in the morning all the way up to noon, under 80 degrees. I couldn't believe it. It was in the 70s. I was like, I got so much time.
Oh, freezing cold.
I know.
Freezing cold.
It's been like 100 and plus every day. You get like 2 hours you can work, and then you better be inside or you melt faster than Tootie Fruity.
Tootie freaking fruity.
Tootie freaking fruity.
Yeah.
I love Sid Haig. I'm sorry. I just love the man.
Oh, he's fabulous.
Yep.
Oh, speaking of your neck of the woods, Gar, you know the patron saint of Parrot Heads has passed away, right?
Yes. The road to Margaritaville is closed for repair.
Oh, yes. And
wasted away again.
Was a billionaire. That's with a B as in Buffett.
If he was a person of business, then yes, he should have been a billionaire when he passed.
He was. Not as rich as the other Buffett. Not as rich as that Buffett. But
that
he
Buffett,
was
yeah.
a billionaire.
The other Buffett, yeah.
The other Buffett.
Yeah.
Bob Buffett. Yeah.
Yeah,
Bob
Buffett.
Yeah.
So I ran across another version of this Tutti Frutti. Rum ice cream with candied fruit and fresh roasted Georgia pecans. Man.
Roma
wow.
ice cream like the people who make the wine?
No. Rum as in
Augmented
rum.
Rum.
Yeah, rum ice cream with candied fruit.
You know, what you would do, you would soak the pecans in rum, candy them, then put rum in the ice cream, then add the rum candied pecans.
Then drink some
mostly,
rum.
And then,
but mostly, yeah, mostly add the rum.
Yeah, mostly add the rum.
And then put in the batter before you freeze it. The makings of a rum Christmas cake.
And a treasure map.
Arr.
And a treasure
Arr.
Map.
Freeze a treasure map in there.
It's pronounced treasure map. A
treasure map.
And then...
Oh, my God.
Then when you have it nicely rock solid frozen, pour rum on top of it and light it up.
There you go. Taylor, have you seen any of the Venture Brothers cartoon?
The Venture
Go
Brothers?
Team Venture.
Venture Brothers. Oh
Venture.
My
no,
dude.
I'm not.
Yes. It's a takeoff of Johnny Quest. I love.
But it's reversed. It's giving you the perspective from the villain, and it's hilarious. It is so funny. Oh, yeah. It really is. It was a rub on Johnny Quest, but then they flipped it. And that thing you said about treasure map, there's somebody in there that talks like that. Where's the treasure map? Yeah.
Exactly. That's how it should be.
Dale, if you ever have the time to check in this, Venture, V-E-N-T-U-R-E, Venture Brothers. Hilarious.
Where's a good place to view it?
Possibly
that
YouTube.
Sounds like a
YouTube
winner.
Has. Yeah, YouTube might have it. Roku or Tubu or Tibu or I don't know all the rest.
I don't know.
They're out there.
I'll find it.
Yeah,
that sounds cool.
And I saw it and I laughed so much. Wow, just One of the kids, one of the Venture Brothers, constantly dresses up in the Ben Cooper Batman costume. It's hilarious.
Awesome.
It's just, oh my gosh. Yeah.
So it's
they go out
for
on
our age, or at least an interest. In that
yeah,
story.
There's a lot of innuendo for adults. It's Adult Swim type stuff. But definitely
okay,
hilarious. Dave, you might like it too.
It's interesting. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, Venture Brothers.
The name,
name
of that again?
Venture, V-E-N-T-U-R-E, Brothers.
Just Venture?
Yeah,
okay.
Venture Brothers.
That sounds
Brothers.
Like that sounds like fun.
Venture Brothers. And it is, that guy. Who is the original Tick in the live action thing? Big, huge actor. Anyway,
I've been watching that again, Gar. It's on Freevee, and the guy plays it almost like Adam West in a way. The way he speaks
yes.
and talks and stuff, he plays
yes.
off just like Adam West. It's absolutely
that guy
hilarious.
Is in the Venture Brothers as the big muscle bound security guy for Team Venture, and it's
okay.
hilarious. Oh my god! Yeah,
sounds like a whole lot of fun.
We lost
CW. She must have gotten out of the of range.
Yeah. Now that we're out of the live portion, I don't think she can get back in. So.
Or she went off to go watch the Venture Brothers.
I could try dialing her back at 1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-
all that? You got a ringtone that says, "What you talking about, Willis?"
Yeah, because they put that. You mean if I actually try to dial 111111, I'm going to hear this?
What you talking about, Willis?
That's exactly what you. That's
exactly. Yeah, while we were broadcasting, I saw something was going weird, and I went and looked, and I was disconnected, and I was like, what? I'm on the phone with you guys on a cell phone, but my internet died. So halfway through the show, I'm calling Cox going, hi, yeah, could you reboot my modem, please? yeah. It's amazing. I like the cell phone for its flexibility in times like this, where I could use another phone to call them and go, hey, your stuff isn't working. But
yeah.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't have to.
I've been at war with them so long. All kinds of good stuff are happening. I've got three or four doctors working with me on the voice thing and all the rest of the stuff. And I had one appointment that was knocked out to November, knocked back to October, and it just got bumped to, like, maybe next week or the week after. I get to see a doctor that might take care of everything, I hope.
Well, which would be great. I hope so. We're wishing for you, bro.
They came up with this one thought that they said, maybe it's your dentures. And I'm like, my dentures?
What am I biting myself in the throat? I put them in backwards. What?
when we bite down on our upper or lower palate, we create mandible pressure that can go up into our forehead, and they're saying that because I haven't seen them in 2 years, they didn't call me. I didn't call them. You know, she might as well. My dentures are a little bit loose, so maybe if I get new dentures.
Them.
No, you can't tighten them.
I'll get new ones. Put them in the vise and.
Right. Yeah. No. They'll recast them. I'll get brand new choppers.
All right. Well, that would be my second guess. But
I was
going to say super glue, but you know.
Yeah.
Super glue. Yeah. I have a V-shaped slicer for my vegetables. And I caught my thumb on this. It's two razor blades that come together as a point, and you run your vegetables through it. I caught my thumb on that. Oh, man.
You almost made yourself into a vegetable.
Yeah, no kidding. I almost lost, like, tip of my thumb. But I put super glue on it, and it's all healing back up.
Your tiddlywink career would be over.
Oh, yeah, that's done. Forget about it.
You can't tiddle without a thumb, you know? Without the whole
yeah.
When I When I first became disabled, I had a doctor tell me, I said, I'm disabled in both my arms, and this is so crippling because I'm an artist. And she said, well, you could learn how to paint with your feet. And I said, I don't want calluses on my butt.
That's right.
I had a medical doctor tell me that you can learn how to paint with your feet. And I'm like,
yeah, that's not the answer you're looking for there.
What part of reality are you living in?
I would demand the robot arms at this point.
I'm all for it.
I'm not kidding. I would do that.
I'm not either.
I don't mean to sound insensitive to you, but it's my expectations on science are high.
Yeah, no, they can take both arms and both legs, you know, and robot me up. I'm fine. I don't mind. I'm ready.
I think I would do that at this point in my life.
I would. My knees hurt when I bend down. My arms hurt when I, you know, just every day. And it's like, you know,
I would do the Steve Austin thing. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
The craziest thing about the $6 million man Steve Austin thing is, and we did it with the Bionic Woman too, is nobody paid attention that these are two absolutely disabled people that have been made able.
Yes, exactly.
No. They still got handicap plates for their cars. So.
Yeah, they did. You know they did.
Yeah, I'm not giving up my parking space, man. I'm sorry. I'm just not giving up my parking space.
That's right. Steve Austin had that thing installed on his car. Beep, 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 beep. Backing up. Beep, beep.
Yep.
You know, he had it all going on.
No, I would. I'm totally down with the cyborg idea. If you're really messed up or you're in constant pain, let's do it. Let's create android bodies and put our brains in them.
They have actually come so far in advancement of those. It's amazing. And a lot of that, unfortunately, is due to veterans that go different places and get blown up and they try to put them back together. I just recently, in the last 2 years, got my disability plates. And I was like,
It's a shame because war has been very instrumental in creating prosthetics. Obviously.
All our science, our automotive, our aviation, all get advanced through all of our hands in war. But, you know, you got to learn somewhere, right? You know.
Make the best of a bad situation? I don't know.
I mean, the fact that that almost every house in America has a microwave oven. War. There you go. It's great. It's a trade-off.
And all you have to do is just devote your country's economy to ice cream. Ice cream.
I'm waiting for a Tutti Frutti rebellion anytime now.
Well, and that's the other thing about ice cream. There are so many flavors to choose from. You could make everyone happy.
You could. Except for people that can't have ice cream. And I'm sitting there going like, damn, I'd like some ice cream.
A little more insulin, that's all.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not that I couldn't have it. It's just that if I did, I'd start a train that I might not be able to get off of.
I've been doing good at controlling my sweet tooth. I have stuff, but not that often.
Dude, I got all my teeth removed. I still have a sweet tooth.
Treat a treat like a treat and not a staple. That is my motto.
Right. And I always say, you know, eat dessert first. You never know when you're going to die. That's what I say.
True. True. I mean, I think most things with dietary stuff, and it's not true for everyone, of course, but most things, it's moderation, man.
Right.
Yeah, I went berserk even into my 40s with, you know, like having sweets with the kids and whatever.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't pay any attention to it. I kind of just walked my way into type 2 diabetes, and I was like, oh, well, hell. Now
Yeah, the sweets, and then there was also a period where I went fast food happy. I was at a place we were working a lot of overtime, and I had very little time to eat lunch. So it was like double quarter pounder, large fry, chocolate shake, at least two, at least three times a week. That was great. Didn't they make a video about that, 30 days or something like that? And the guys,
yeah, they did. They did, and the guy went broke. I don't know.
No, he got very sick. He got very sick. He had McDonald's every day for a month or something.
Oh, look. Yeah. As a person that's worked in restaurant and food prep and all that, I seriously tell everybody, make your own food. I'm not a germaphobe, but you got kids out there that don't wash their hands. And if they're not doing that...
Yeah, I know. That's bad. Well, it's not only that, but all the preservatives they put in stuff, even in fast food, and there's at least maybe not shed of it, but a lot less of it when you make your own meals. And I'm very blessed to have a wife who likes to cook.
Yeah. My prerogatives are more strongly based on know how to prepare your own food. You know what's in it, what's not in it. You wash your hands, you know.
Yep.
Sometimes
depends what I'm making.
That's gross, but okay. That's gross there, buddy. I don't know.
It's a joke. It's just a joke this time.
I actually, because I do stuff like I make, and this is not germaphobe stuff. It's just like the new reality is like I'll make postcards for people or greeting cards or whatever. I'm constantly washing my hands. I'm constantly, you know, got to make sure, you know, what I mail out is quote unquote clean, you know, clean as it can be, you know. It's just, you know, I saw this one thing on YouTube that I thought was kind of funny. It's an elder man, probably about 70 years old. He's like, I'm going to teach you people how to wash your hands and dry it with one paper towel. So he washed his hands. And then he sat there and he shook his hands and he said, count to 20 as you shake your hands and then grab one paper towel. And guess what? You're done.
That's the problem. Kids can't count to 20. So,
yeah, or they can't wash their hands too. Are you guys having the new phobia, the masking going back on? Or is it going to go away?
It's going to be a long time before it comes to where I live, but I don't like the idea. Not at all.
I see it in grocery stores a little bit, and I see it in at Walmart. I don't go to Walmart that much, but when I do, I see it.
How about, are you seeing anything, Dave?
Not really. Not anymore. I mean, there's some people who are still walked around even before this one was coming up.
Yes.
With that. But no, I haven't seen any really extra coming on, even though there are more and more hospitalizations for it in Ohio.
The VA, the Veterans Administration.
Yeah, especially my
hospital.
County. My county's getting hit, they say.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
They say.
Yeah, it's supposedly resurging possibly here in Florida, definitely more in California. They don't know anything about how to wash their hands there.
That's part of the problem with this stuff, too. I think it is. I think it's hygiene with younger people. It's like, really?
Yeah.
You shouldn't even have to have a sign in a restaurant that says, employees, please wash your hands before returning to the kitchen. You shouldn't have to have that sign.
Yeah, you should not.
You should not have to have a little sticker on the lighter that has 10,000 words, which when condensed say, fire hot. It's freaking hot.
Yeah,
you can light other things on fire.
Or coffee is hot. Why? Because you bought hot coffee. It's like, come on. You know? At the VA hospital, they were making it mandatory for veterans to wear the mask. So I did. And then it wore off. And I was like, oh, thank gosh. So now I can go in there. I did the shot thing. And I was like, you know, I'm not taking any more, but I did the shot thing. And I was like, yeah, I'm good. Unless you've got a cold and you're actively sneezing and coughing and stuff, don't need the mask.
Yeah. See, now, if I had McDonald's and I got sued for hot coffee, okay, I wouldn't put the little symbol with the steam coming off the coffee. I wouldn't put the little thing on there that says hot in big letters. No, no, no. I would put a hand on a spring that hits you on the forehead and Siri comes out yelling, "Stupid! It's hot!" There. I'd probably get
Someone made money off that.
The story behind that, right? The story behind that is the person had some kind of sports car that didn't have a cup holder. So she put it between her legs.
What?
So when she came to something where she had to slam on the brakes, her legs clamped together and it popped the lid off and all over her, and the third degree burns. At least second degree.
If anyone has ever driven in the 1970s, we didn't have cup holders. That's where you put your cup, right there.
Yeah, between your legs.
Yeah, but this was more like in the 90s, not in the 70s.
Right. Yeah,
where
true.
A cup holder, you know, it's like a standard equipment in any kind of car now, you know?
Yes, it is. It's built into the car. But as Gar pointed out, when we grew up, you didn't have none of that. You either had that drink caddy they gave you at fast food, or you...
But we also didn't turn around and sue McDonald's when we spilled our coffee on ourselves.
No, we cussed ourselves and we hit ourselves in the head, you know, and kept driving.
So, is that stupid? I'm not telling anybody about this.
Like, damn, that
burns. Yeah, and people wearing helmets and elbow pads and stuff on a bicycle. Man, cement is a teacher. It teaches you not to do stupid stuff, or maybe you're not cut out for bicycles.
Well, I think I've taken a digger off a bike before, and I broke my collarbone on a bike once.
Did you have to have a pin put in?
No, I had to wear a brace for like
a brace?
3
okay.
months or something. I cracked
mine clean through. I had to have a pin put in.
Oh,
which
ouch.
They later
Son
took
it.
Out.
Yeah.
It was just there to set the bone. So they, it
right.
was there
yeah,
for
yeah,
like
yeah.
6 or 8 weeks, and they yanked it
yeah,
out.
Yeah, that was what my brace was for. It was like around my, wrapped under my arm and over my arm. And it was, just trying to keep me kind of stationary.
Yeah, to not put any more stress on it. Yeah.
But as I've said before, and this goes right back to other things I just said, was the reason people go, well, it's 2020. Why don't we have flying cars? And it's like, go back to rule number one. People don't know how to even wash their hands. That's your answer.
Yeah. Because you have warning labels on poison, lighters, and in the bathroom.
Yeah, drive on the highway and see how people drive. I don't want people in flying cars if they're driving like they do on the highway.
Oh,
yeah. No.
Yeah.
That's not good. Can't be good.
Yeah.
Well, the cars may be ready for it, but we're not ready for the flying cars.
We're not ready for a lot of the technology we have.
Yeah, it's true. So true.
The drone thing. I'm not there with that. But, everybody's got a drone.
We are not mature enough as a society for the toys we have.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, not at all.
Anyway, maybe we ought to wrap this baby up and meet again at 6:30, those of us that can or will. And
there you go.
All right. So with that, I guess we should turn down the house lights, turn on the 3 spotlights. So into the middle spotlight can step the one, the only, James Durante.
Bring out that big nose.
Night.
Good.
It's time to
say. Chop-a-dee, chop-chop-chop. Talk to you folks later. Hasta la vista. Hasta la vista. Take care, guys. It was fun.
We've had a few battles, and it's time for toodaloo.
He's going to miss the stinger.
Oh, him. And Inka-dinka-doo, yeah.
Night.
Just you and me, Dale?
Yikes! That's a scary thought.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
She's in Fort Buffalo, Wyoming.
There you go.
Not that hard to find because of the internet.
Mm-mm.
Now that wasn't so bad, was it?
It was disgusting.
Yeah.